It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, and welcome to These Four Walls, our third episode.
Third episode! Three cheers to that.
Yeah, so we've got loads coming up on this episode, and I'm particularly excited because, Shannon, you spoke to a real X-Men this week.
Well, it was actually an ex-woman, but yes, that did happen. I nipped out to my local, which is Claridge's.
Fancy.
And spoke to Alexandra Shipp, who's basically my new girl crush. She's amazing.
And, okay, so I am actually really excited about the movie.
I know you
and
are.
I really want to know... Did that actually happen?
Annie, I'm obviously not going to answer that.
Why not?
Because it's a massive spoiler, and also you don't really want to know because you're going to see it. So can you please stop trying to sabotage the podcast?
Okay, as if I would. But I actually went to my local this episode too.
Oh yeah, where's your local?
Well, it's like Claridge's. It's really fancy, and lots of high-profile people go there.
I think I've guessed it. Is it the ASOS Fashion Cupboard?
Yes, it's the ASOS Fashion Cupboard in all its fabulousness. And after I've got all our fashion tips, we'll also be quizzing our fellow ASOSers about their dating stories. And Georgia Murray, one of ASOS Magazine's writers, will be joining us to talk 40 years of punk.
All right, let's go to your local then.
In a bit. So I'm in the cupboard. Okay, there's loads of stuff in here today. What can I say? I don't think there's anyone in here. I'm just going to have a little rummage to see what I can find. Let's start with this rail. There's a really nice jacket in here, but this kind of looks like menswear, sort of like a mustard jacket. That looks interesting. And a lot of slip dresses, a nice orange slip dress that looks quite nice. Maybe I will take that. And something that's very pink. Okay, what else can I find?
What are you doing, Annie?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, okay, so I've just been busted by Jo. Welcome back, Jo. You were with us last episode. Check her out at Jo_Greasley. And Debbie.
Hi, Annie.
Hey, Deb. One of our ASOS insiders. Deb, what's your Instagram so everyone can follow you?
It's ASOS_Debbie.
Everyone should follow Deb. She's got amazing style and has never worn the same outfit ever at work. And this is actually really good because you guys have got two very different styles. So I've been rummaging around in the cupboard and I found a few bits so you can give me some tips. Jo, how would you describe your style?
I'm definitely a tomboy.
Okay. Deb?
I'm definitely a girl's girl. Never leave home without a red lip or a heel.
I've noticed... Okay, so this is quite interesting. There's some menswear in the cupboard today.
Yeah, I have started using, or we have started trying to use a lot of menswear when styling women's wear at the same time, though, obviously, just to mix it up a bit, but unisex.
So this jacket, can you describe this jacket to me?
Yeah, that's my fave at the moment. It's a coach jacket.
A coach jacket.
A coach jacket.
What does that mean?
It's just the style of jacket.
Kind of boxy, right?
Yeah, it's like boxy. It's kind of like a shirt shape, like a long line. It's got shirt collar. You got like a popper sleeve as well. Popper buttons. Yeah, this one's got this one's Carhartt, so it's got the big C logo. Drawstring hem.
Okay, and that's really interesting as a menswear jacket. So how would you, Jo, style that?
Yeah, so it's a really good like throw-on jacket. It's good for this spring weather and even going into summer. It's a lightweight jacket, so when you just need something, you know, an extra layer. But I like that it's a bit long line. It looks great over like hoodies.
Okay.
Which we've been banging on about. But then equally, yeah, like you were talking, I see you've got another slip dress there. It'll look great thrown over a little slip dress or a little summer dress as well.
And Deb, how would you, if you were wearing this menswear jacket, what would you style it with?
Kind of just like how Jo said, over this orange slip dress that you have right next to it.
Yeah, because I also noticed this hanging on the rail. Mm. I think Shannon actually has this item in her saved items bag.
Shannon has That's good it. Taste.
Yeah. Yeah. So slip dresses are really, really big, but
big.
You both have quite different styles. So, Deb, how would you wear this orange slip dress?
Well, I already have this dress as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And I kind of thought I could wear it to work, like, over T-shirts, but it's actually super dressy. So, like, it's great for, like, a summer wedding.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would just keep it really minimal. So it's, like, got this amazing slip, slit at the front.
Okay, right, like, yeah. Right at the
show
front.
It
kind of show a bit of leg.
Yeah, good for the dance floor as well, right? Mm. So I'd probably just wear it with, like, some belly dare heels, some slip back hair, a red lip, and some big earrings.
So you'd put a red lip with
Definitely.
This colour?
Clash.
Like a bright orange?
Yes. I kind of call it my Solange dress as well.
Yeah.
She totally wear it this way.
She totally rocked that. And Jo, how would you, Deb mentioned wearing it over a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Is that also something that you could do?
Yeah, definitely. We're styling lots of slips and over sports tees or logo tees, you know, like Stussy, Vans, or even like when it's just a random slogan as well. It doesn't
okay,
have
so
to be
that
branded.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
And then also, girls, I have noticed there's this one item that has caught my eye.
Ooh.
So to describe this, this is a bright pink sort of peplum top in net.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. It's like netted, it's sleeveless, but it's got this little dropped, almost like a ruffle, but not quite a ruffle, like a peplum.
So this is super bright
and super
see-through.
Yeah.
So it's kind of scaring me a little bit.
Yeah.
So how would people wear this?
Well, you don't want to go. Thing is, though, one way you could that's a good holiday item to chuck on over your bikini on the beach.
Okay, that's a good way to wear it. Okay.
That's, yeah, a holiday shout. But also with this type of thing, we've been layering it over boyish t-shirts, again, so with logos, so you see the logo through the sheer, but then it's just making your boyish t-shirt very girly at the same time, and then, you know, chucking it on with some jeans.
Okay, so a bit of a contrast.
Yes.
It puts that's really girly with something a bit
very
more
boyish. Yeah.
And Deb, how would you do a similar thing?
Yeah, or? Definitely with jeans, because I like the oversized fit of it all.
Yeah.
If I was brave, I'd just wear a bra, but I'm not.
Whoa.
But probably like a little cami underneath,
yeah,
with a bit of detailing, but definitely with some jeans and some heels, and you're good to go.
Always with a heel, Deb.
Always with a
you
heel.
You rock
Never
heels
flat.
Every day, and it just is
day.
Very impressive.
I was born in heels, Annie.
Okay, great. Thanks, girls. Sorry you caught me in the cupboard. I'm gonna go now. Okay, bye.
Bye,
Annie.
So that was Annie in the fashion cupboard. Ah, here we go. All right, so it's time to talk about love, dating, relationships, all of that. And this week we are focusing on dating.
Yeah, specifically via the medium of an app.
Yeah, digital dating. We've asked people to give us their opinions and their stories, the good and the not so good on dating apps.
Okay, so let's swipe right.
The best thing about dating apps is just that they're really fun and you can go on loads of different dates in a really short amount of time and meet loads of different people.
The best thing about dating apps is that you match with Cisco in Las Vegas, but the worst thing is you find your ex-boyfriend when you first join Tinder.
No idea, never been on one. I'm old-fashioned.
I haven't used one before.
You can just, like, swipe all evening.
Mate, dating apps suck. I don't get it. Like, I don't get the big fuss over dating apps. Why don't you just go to, like, a bar and just speak to somebody? Why do you need to swipe on an app or talk to someone on the internet? I just don't get it.
Someone really cool might be your next swipe.
The best thing, because it's people that you would never meet normally. Like, there's just, like, a completely different world of people that, like, you wouldn't go to a bar, you wouldn't go and see the same thing, so it's nice to, like, meet people out of your comfort zone.
I like them because I met my boyfriend on Tinder.
My opinion on dating apps is that they're convenient when you're on holiday, because you can go on Tinder and just ask around about the best places and restaurants and bars to go to.
I went on a date with someone and then at the end of the date realised that we lived in the same building, which made it even more awkward when I said that I didn't want to go back to his.
I think they're great. It's a good way to meet people. My mum's on Tinder.
Wow, I mean, a whole range of responses there.
Yeah.
Thing is, I don't actually have Tinder because there's just not enough space on my phone.
Yeah, but that's that's a really bad excuse. Yeah, no, I don't either, but I'm a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's way nicer just to sort of go up and speak to someone, isn't it?
Would you do that?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
What would you say?
I'd be like, oh, hey, babes, nice shoes. Moving on. Annie, it's the part you've been waiting for.
Yes.
Where we get to meet a real member of the X-Men.
Ah, X-Men time. Yes, I'm so excited and no spoilers. But you played our game, What Would You Do If? With Alexandra Shipp. So let's see how she did.
Wherever this being was, he always had 4 followers he would imbue with power.
Like the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. He got that one from the Bible.
Or the Bible got it from him.
What is it?
Oh, God.
He can control all of us.
Charles!
The world needs the X-Men.
That's why I'm here. To fight.
Hi, I'm Shannon. I'm joined by the beautiful Alexandra Shipp.
How's
Hello. It going?
It's going great.
So this is your final interview of a whole day of interviews, right?
Yes.
What are you going to do when you're finished?
I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat so much food. I've been really jet lagged, so it's hard for me to like find my snacking and my sleeping. But
oh, yeah,
I'm
Alex
ready to snack.
Last night? Yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon.
Is it Alex, by the way? Alex?
Alex, yeah, Alex is
Alex.
Easier.
Cool.
Yeah,
so good.
Easier.
So I watched X-Men yesterday.
Yes.
It's so sick. It's amazing.
It's so dope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the coolest thing ever.
All the special effects look so good.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, working on the movie, it's like, My imagination was firing off a million miles an hour, but
yeah, because I guess you were just like behind a green screen,
pretending, playing pretend, and like hoping that it looked cool,
yeah.
And then to like you know see it and finally see everything, it was just like oh my gosh.
So you were as excited as me, and so I just there being like,
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Oh, me
I was so
too,
excited.
Me too. I absolutely loved it. Was it kind of daunting joining, because obviously it's like a massive cast and it's a big franchise that was already so successful and has so many fans. When you got the part, obviously I bet you were like stoked, but were you also slightly like, oh my God, this is terrifying?
It was the most exciting and the most scary thing that's ever happened to me. You know, it's like, yes, I finally get this amazing role that I have been, you know, that I think a lot of women of color who are actors dream about is playing, you know, like the first female black superhero, you know, and having that beautiful strength and power. And it was also really scary, though, because as the same way that I looked to Halle Berry as a source of strength and a representation of what I could possibly be, I want to do the same for young girls who are going to watch this movie.
Of course.
And I want to do it right. And so I'm really excited for people to see it because I, after seeing it, I'm like super proud of the movie.
Yeah.
I think it's just awesome. I think it looks amazing.
Well, you smashed it without giving any spoilers. You almost kind of played two Storms as well. Right?
Yeah,
there's two
a little
kind
bit.
Of different sides. So
yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
And we were talking about just before, so you lived with Sophie Turner while you were filming.
Yes.
In a little, she described it as a party flat. Is that true? Were you guys the party flat?
I love that she thinks it's a party flat because like she's like the biggest goof ever. it was more of a I guess you could say it was a party flat, but we would build each other forts. So like say Sophie would go away and she'd have like a week on Game of Thrones, she'd come back and there would be like this big elaborate fort in the living room, and then I would go.
What would you build a fort out of?
Sheets. I'm talking like kid fort, like I'm talking like baby fort. Sheets,
that's
pillows.
Amazing.
Yeah. And Sophie's, and then I would go away and Sophie would make me a fort. And Sophie's was really good. Like, the girl could be an architect.
This
I
sounds like
tell
the
you.
Funnest house
it
ever.
Was so much fun. And it was like we would just stay up late and we'd be talking about life and boys and our
Classic.
Characters. And,
yeah.
And, you know, we're really excited for another possible, an
possibly another X-Men movie, because we have such a fun sisterhood ourselves, yeah, that we really, and so does Storm and Jean in the comics, yeah, and we would really love to translate that into film and like,
yeah,
be able
feels
to bring
girl
our,
power-y, this
it's
one.
So girl power-y.
There's some really great,
yeah, there's some amazing girl stuff,
yeah,
like girl stunts.
So what's the coolest thing about Storm? What do you love about her the most?
I love Storm's strength, because anyone who knows me knows that I'm like the biggest pushover.
Really?
You're like, yes. No. You're like, Alex, I'm hungry. I'm like, I'll drop what I'm doing and I will find you, aww, food, you know, or I'll give you the shirt off my back. And I have no spine and I cannot make any decision on my own. But man, does Storm know how to command.
So she's a bit like your Sasha Fierce then. You got,
oh,
to have,
yeah,
a bit of an alter ego.
Totally. 100%. Because where I'm like, whatever you guys want to do, Storm's like, we are going to do it this way. And you're just like, oh my
gosh. Your Storm voice just gave me a little shiver there.
Oh my God. I love it.
Amazing. She is super cool. I
so
absolutely
cool.
love her. All right. You ready to play our little game?
Yes.
So, what would you do if is our game. We're mm-hmm. going to ask you some what would you do if questions. Mm-hmm. You're going to give us your best shot, and then
love
we're going
it.
To play the real expert answers. Okay, so number one, this is, you've got no time and no cash, and you're just kind of at home. You want a kind of quick beauty fix, mm-hmm. right? You want to do something kind of to make yourself feel good. Mm-hmm. You've only got the ingredients in your cupboard. What do you do?
I whip up egg whites.
And what do you do with them?
I put it on my face.
Oh.
Yeah, it helps brighten your skin and it helps close up your pores.
Do you do that a lot?
Not a lot. I love masks.
Yeah.
That's like my main thing. I love masks because I have really bad cystic acne and they like develop under the skin. So I'm always trying to do different things. I used to do the egg white mask yeah. a lot when I was younger. But if I feel like my skin is going crazy and I don't have anything uh-huh. with me and all I have is my fridge, you just whip up egg whites.
You
put it on your face.
All right. Well, do you want to see what our expert said?
Yes.
So this is the amazing Jessica Taylor, who's a makeup artist, beauty writer, and total babe.
Okay. I think the loveliest thing are the oils. So you can go with olive oil, coconut oil, and just slather yourself, basically. I think it feels amazing, and you'll wake up the next day, and your skin will just feel absolutely beautiful.
Love that. All love right. that.
Yeah? Do you ever use a bit of coconut oil, stuff like that?
I do. I'm a total girl and love putting coconut oil on everything, yep. especially myself.
Always the way.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I think you won. We've stopped doing points in this game because it didn't work, but I think you smashed that one. All right. Number two. So you're trying to attract your idol's attention on social media. Mm. So you really want to get someone's attention. Mm. What's the best way to do it? What would your approach be?
How old is the demographic of this podcast?
20-something girls.
All right. You know what I do? It goes down in the DMs.
You'd slide in the DMs.
I slide in the DMs. It goes down in the DMs. It goes down
We've all
in
been
the
there.
DMs.
All right. Do you want to hear what our very own actual social media ASOS had to say?
Yes.
Okay.
I think just a really honest, heartfelt message about how much you admire them and how they've inspired you should do the trick. Just send them a really nice tweet or an Instagram comment. Most nice people would find it hard to ignore that, I'd like to think.
I prefer your answer, to
you
be
know,
honest.
I like to slide in the
yeah,
DMs.
Yeah.
You know, you just slide in the DMs, boom.
It's just that bit when you see the like scene and then no reply, and they're just like,
wait, blooded. That way. Yeah, yeah.
All right, next question. You've got a vegan friend and a gluten-free friend. They're both coming around for dinner. What the hell do you cook?
Oh, wow. A salad? I feel like I would make a salad. Or you know what? Actually, I'd go straight third grade with it and just make them a mud pie.
What's a mud pie?
Like dirt, mud, bake it.
What?
Make them a mud pie.
What's a mud pie?
It's mud. It's a pie made of mud.
What, like from the ground outside?
Yeah.
So you'd be like, if you want to be vegan and gluten-free, this is what I'm giving you.
Well, or that, or I'd just get like a bale of hay. I'd be like, here you guys go. I grilled steaks.
That's amazing.
Look, I mean, I get it. You know, my mom's a vegetarian. I've tried to be vegetarian many times, but I get hangry. And
I
the only
so
thing
hangry.
that can, you know, cure it is meat. That's the only thing I've found.
Yeah.
Meat and cheese.
I feel you. Well, let's hear what our private chef, Anna Ray, this is what she said.
A really good idea for this would be to have like an Indian feast. So some really yummy ideas would be something like a red lentil dal, a cauliflower rice biryani with like lots of vegetables in, tomato and red onion salsa, kind of a bit of like key to like freshness. vegetable pakoras using gram flour, sweet potato and cashew nut curry, and then chickpea flour pancakes, which are quite common in India, or aloo tikki, which is like a potato patty made with buckwheat flour. And then I probably serve a coconut yogurt raita with that. And I put lots of chili and garnish with coriander, and have lots of like spices, so cumin, coriander, chili powder, stuff like that, to make an Indian feast.
You Brits love your Indian food.
We
and
do.
You've got the
We're
best Indian food. Yeah,
good
you've got some amazing Indian food here.
Yeah. Do you have time to go to Brick Lane while you're here?
I'm hoping so.
That's where you
I've got
get
a couple
curry.
Extra days that I'm staying in town. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good. You
yeah.
should. All right. The final question is, you're going to a desert island and you're allowed to pack three things and three things only. What would you choose?
I would choose a water purifier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those little like handheld ones. They have even one that looks like a straw now, which is awesome.
Ooh.
So I'd bring that. I'd bring a machete.
Nice.
And I would bring a solar charging iPod.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah.
My name is Johnny Crockett. I work for a company called Survival School. And I'm a survival instructor and wilderness guide and have been for the last 20 years. You should bring to your desert island a knife, a means of lighting fire, and a billy can. The rest you should be able to get from where you are. So you're fishing, you need to collect water. Desert islands, traditionally, if you've got foliage there, you're going to have water. So you can fill up your pot, you can light your fire, and then you can start to make anything else that you need to make, like somewhere to sleep and somewhere to live and all your pot hangers and things like that. You can do that with a knife that you bought.
Yeah, that machete is going to keep it handy.
Do you remember the cartoon Tarzan? You remember that like sweet little like treehouse flat that they made, that the family made? That's what
that
I would be doing,
yeah.
But with my machete.
It sounds like you'd be absolutely fine, to be honest, if you were stranded on a desert island.
I'm from the desert.
I wouldn't be worried about you.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm from the desert.
You've got this down.
Yeah, I know. You got to hydrate yourself. You got to defend yourself. And you also got to be able to pass the time. Music.
This is why you're an X-Men.
Hey.
An X-Men.
That's exactly why.
Alex, thank you so much. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much.
And you smashed it. Thanks for talking to us. And enjoy the rest of your time in London.
Hey, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she was really sweet.
I love her.
And the egg white thing, that's quite interesting. So I've got a story about that.
Mm.
Somebody, a friend, used egg whites on their hair, because you can also use it on your hair.
I know what you're going to say. And did she wash it off with hot water?
Yeah, and they washed it off with hot water and it scrambled
on
her hair.
Yeah, and you just have horrible scrambled eggs stuck in your hair.
Yeah. But then, so does it really work on your hair? Yeah. Maybe it's better on your face.
Stick to the face, love. Alex Shipp, if you're listening to this, please will you be your best friends.
Oh, that's really nice. She was really good.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Yo.
Hi, Georgia Murray. How are you?
I'm good. How are you both?
Good.
We're good.
What are you
thanks.
To call us on today?
This one's a bit different, actually. I'm talking about Punk London.
Ah.
Interesting. You're really into that. You've been going to loads of talks and stuff.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing, actually. Lots of fun things going on.
So what exactly is it and why is it going on for so long?
So basically, it's a year-long programme celebrating Punk's 40th anniversary. So since January, there's been loads of stuff happening. Gigs, talks, film screenings, exhibitions in various venues across the city.
Okay, so we're saying that Punk happened 40 years ago and Punk London. So did it actually start in London then?
Well, it's disputed amongst punk lovers, but one guy that's quite interesting to look at is Malcolm McLaren.
Yeah, so he has some sort of affiliation with the Sex Pistols, right? But he's not in the Sex Pistols.
No, he was actually their manager. But he was this British guy who, with Vivian Westwood, who is his partner, owned Sex, which was a clothing shop on the King's Road. And basically, he was an American managing the New York Dolls, who were this New York-based punk band.
Okay, cool. So that's in America, but then what's the link with London then?
So when he returned to the UK, he gave the guitarist's guitar to Steve Jones, who would then go on to found the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, so Sex Pistols, super punk, right? I mean, what happened next?
Well, Johnny Rotten, who is the lead singer, his kind of audition almost was he was a big fan of all of Vivian Westwood's clothes and would kind of hang out at Sex a lot. So he would sing along to the jukebox. And Malcolm McLaren actually heard him singing in this really like bizarre style and was like, that's it, mate, you are the lead singer of my new band, the Sex Pistols.
So it's like a punk X Factor.
Okay, cool. So McLaren was a big part of the beginning of UK punk then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not only for managing the band, but him and Westwood pretty much created the uniform. Latex, rips, safety pins, obviously all features we kind of associate with punk.
So before that, why did punk actually come about? Because it's a whole movement, isn't it? What was like the politics of the time?
Well, like all subcultures and underground movements, punk sort of rebelled against the mainstream and the status quo. Unemployment was particularly high in the UK in the early 70s. There was this feeling of disruption amongst young people and a particularly anti-establishment attitude.
Okay, but in terms of the music scene, so it's 2016 now, and 40 years ago is 1976.
Yeah.
So that's considered the year of like the official start then of punk.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, kind of people looking back, that seems like it's the pinnacle year. It really kicked off in London then. It was the year that the legendary Oxford Street gig venue, the 100 Club, hosted a two-day punk festival when bands like The Clash, The Cramps, Buzzcocks, Susie and the Banshees and The Slits, they all formed then. It's the year that the Sex Pistols signed to EMI and played some of their most infamous gigs and when the Ramones released their first album. So obviously loads of key stuff happened in that year. And now it's 2016, people are looking back on punk's legacy.
So is Punk London focusing mainly on the music side of things?
I mean, not really. It's obviously a huge part of that, but it's more of a look at the entirety of the subculture. So the fashion, the politics, the attitude, the way it changed youth culture, and particularly the enduring influence that it's had over us now.
So what else are people talking about? What conversations are people having?
Well, sort of legendary DJ and producer Don Letts, who kind of introduced reggae and influenced a lot of punk bands in that kind of sort of aspect. He has looked at diversity in punk through his film series. There's been talks at the ICA about punk publications like Sniffing Glue, which was the original fanzine, which started in 1976. And there's amazing new punk band, Skinny Girl Dyer.
You love them.
They are absolutely amazing. You should go and see them if you get the chance. They have played gigs and debated whether you can still be punk in 2060, which is a really interesting question in itself. And then guitarist of The Slits, Viv Albertine, has discussed the women who were an integral part of the punk scene.
Yeah, that's really interesting that so many women are involved and talking about it as part of Punk London, because I always thought it was a bit of a boys' scene.
Yeah. I did too.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people do think that, but actually it was like this really incredible time for young women to sort of redefine themselves. There were bands like X-Ray Specs and Susie and the Banshees. And actually one of the events at the British Library, there's a panel talk with some of punk's leading women. And actually we spoke to the curator at the British Library, Andy Linham, about women in punk. Do you guys want to hear what he had to say?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Punk was actually quite liberating for women as well, in that there were no kind of preset roles for women. You know, in previous times, the kind of women in music tended to be, vocalists and the kind of figureheads of the bands. But to have women on drums, bass, guitar had been quite unusual. But with punk, they just said, we can pick up the guitars, we can do it.
Well, that sounds great. You've sold it to me, Georgia. So this is happening kind of all over London.
Yeah, I mean, institutions like the Museum of London and the ICA are all hosting events, as well as venues like the Roundhouse and, like I mentioned before, the 100 Club. Punk London's actually supported by the National Lottery, and Heritage Lottery Fund gave a grant of £99,000. And it's weirdly got endorsements from the Queen and Boris Johnson, so it's kind of controversial in that way.
Yeah, that doesn't seem very...
Yeah, that's quite weird,
does it? But because have you seen that Sex Pistols album cover with the Queen on?
Exactly right. That is just... A lot of people have a lot to say about it. And kind of the people who are disagreeing with the whole thing are saying that treating punk like a museum piece is against the whole ethos of the scene. I mean, it's built on rebellion, so this is quite an odd thing to happen. But McLaren, who we were talking about earlier in Westwood, they have a son called Joe Corr, who actually founded the lingerie brand Agent Provocateur. And basically, he's punk royalty, obviously, and he has a huge collection of punk memorabilia, and he's basically said he's going to burn the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. Do you think he's actually going to do it?
I think he might, you know, I don't think he's bluffing.
When's it going to be, when's it happening?
So it's on the 26th of November, which is exactly 40 years after the release of The Sex Pistols' Anarchy in the UK.
Are you guys going to go down?
Yes, yeah, in
Camden. Georgia Marius, definitely.
Stone's throw from the Ace's office.
But he's basically said about it, those who felt punk's ideas are still important would have felt betrayed, and that the artifacts represent ideas. That's what's important, not the memorabilia. So some people are calling his bluff and saying it's a press stunt, but I don't know, I think he might actually do it.
That'd be interesting.
I get it, but it's a bit much.
Just donate it to like a museum or something. It's
all right. Well, what are your highlights? What sort of things do you think we should be going to?
I mean, the British Library, again, they've got Johnny Rotten himself doing a talk there in June.
Wow.
And their exhibition, Punk 1976 to 1978, it actually opens today. And it features some amazing pieces like original clothing from Sex, Radio 1 DJ John Peel's personal copy of the Undertones single Teenage Kicks, gig tickets to the Roxy Club and fanzines like Sniffing Glue. It's all absolutely amazing. I've seen it.
Great. So loads to see then. Everyone should go check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And you can go to punk.london to see a full listing of events taking place across the year. There's loads of free stuff as well, so you don't have to spend loads of money to go.
Cool,
amazing. I need to get some of those in my calendar. I think we should definitely go.
We're pretty punk, we are.
It sounds really, really interesting. We should follow Georgia Murray's lead, I think.
Yeah, everyone could be a bit more punk.
Georgia, that was really great and very interesting. Thank you so much for telling us all about Punk London.
Yeah. No worries.
Later.
See you soon.
Bye.
So that brings us to the end of our third episode. Thank you to all our contributors, from X-Men star Alex Shipp, ASOS magazine writer Georgia Murray,
to our fashion stylist and our producer, Woogie Beach.
Shout out, Woogie Beach. We'll be back next episode, so don't forget to hit subscribe on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, that was the sound of Annie dropping the mic.
Yes, Annie and Shannon